Sri Aurobindo Savitri, Book 7, The Book of Yoga, Canto 2, The Parable of the Search for the Soul. As in the vigilance of the sleepless night, through the slow, heavy-footed, silent hours, repressing in her bosom its load of grief, she sat staring at the dumb tread of time and the approach of ever-nearing fate. A summons from her being's summit came, a sound, a call that broke the seals of night. Above her brows, where will and knowledge meet, a mighty voice invaded mortal space. It seemed to come from inaccessible heights, and yet was intimate with all the world, and knew the meaning of the steps of time, and saw eternal destinies, changeless scene, filling the far prospect of the cosmic gaze. As the voice touched, her body became a stark and rigid golden statue of motionless trance, a stone of God lit by an amethyst soul. Around her body's stillness, all grew still. Her heart listened to its slow, measured beats. Her mind, renouncing thought, heard and was mute. Why camest thou to this dumb, death-bound earth, this ignorant life beneath indifferent skies, tied like a sacrifice on the altar of time? O spirit, O immortal energy, if 'twas to nurse grief in a helpless heart, or with hard, tearless eyes, await thy doom? Arise, O soul, and vanquish time and death. But Savitri's heart replied in the dim night, my strength is taken from me and given to death. Why should I lift my hands to the shut heavens, or struggle with mute, inevitable fate, or hope in vain to uplift an ignorant race who hug their lot and mock the Savior light, and see in mind wisdom's soul tabernacle, in its harsh peak and its inconscient base, a rock of safety and an anchor of sleep? Is there a God whom any cry can move? He sits in peace and leaves the mortal strength impotent against his calm, omnipotent law and inconscience and the almighty hands of death. What need have I, what need has Satyavan to avoid the black meshed net, the dismal door, or call a mightier light into life's closed room, or a greater law into man's little world? Why should I strive with earth's unyielding laws, or stave off death's inevitable hour? This surely is best, to pactize with my fate, and follow close behind my lover's steps, and pass through night from twilight to the sun, across the tenebrous river that divides the adjoining parishes of earth and heaven. Then could we lie in armed, breast upon breast, untroubled by thought, untroubled by our hearts, forgetting man and life and time and its hours, forgetting eternity is called forgetting God. The voice replied, "Is this enough, O Spirit? And what shall thy soul say when it wakes and knows the work was left undone for which it came? Or is this all for thy being, born on earth, charged with a mandate from eternity, a listener to the voices of the years, a follower of the footprints of the gods, to pass and leave unchanged the old dusty laws? Shall there be no new tables, no new word, no greater light come down upon the earth, delivering her from her unconsciousness, man's spirit from unalterable fate? Camest thou not down to open the doors of fate, the iron doors that seemed forever closed, and lead man to truth's wide and golden road that runs through finite things to eternity? Is this then the report that I must make, my head bowed with shame before the eternal seat? His power he kindled in thy body has failed. His laborer returns, her task undone." Then Savitri's heart fell mute, it spoke no word. But holding back her troubled rebel heart, abrupt, erect and strong, calm like a hill surmounting the seas of mortal ignorance, it speak immutable above mind's air. A power within her answered the still voice, "I am thy portion here, charged with thy work, as thou, myself, seated forever above, speak to my depths, O great and deathless voice, command, for I am here to do thy will." The voice replied, "Remember why thou camest. Find out thy soul, recover thy hid self. In silence, seek God's meaning in thy depths, then mortal nature change to the divine. Open God's door, enter into his trance. Cast thought from thee, that nimble ape of light. In his tremendous hush, stilling thy brain, his vast truth wake within and know and see. Cast from thee sense that veils thy spirit sight. In the enormous emptiness of thy mind, thou shalt see the Eternal's body in the world. Know him in every voice heard by thy soul. In the world's contacts, meet his single touch. All things shall fold thee into his embrace. Conquer thy heart's throbs, let thy heart beat in God. Thy nature shall be the engine of his work. Thy voice shall house the mightiness of his word. Then shalt thou harbor my force and conquer death." Then Savitri by her doomed husband sat, still rigid in her golden motionless pose, a statue of the fire of the inner sun. In the black night, the wrath of storm swept by, the thunder crashed above her, The rain hissed, its million footsteps pattered on the roof. Impassive, mid the movement and the cry, witness of the thoughts of mind, the moods of life, she looked into herself and sought for her soul. A dream disclosed to her the cosmic past, the crypt seed and the mystic origins, the shadowy beginnings of world fate. A lamp of symbol, lightning hidden truth, imaged to her the world's significance. In the indeterminate formlessness of self, creation took its first mysterious steps. It made the body shape a house of soul, and matter learned to think, and person grew. She saw space peopled with the seeds of life, and saw the human creature born in time. At first appeared a dim, half-neutral tide of being emerging out of infinite naught. A consciousness looked at the inconscient vast, and pleasure and pain stirred in the insensible void. All was the deed of a blind world energy. Unconscious of her own exploits, she worked, shaping a universe out of the inane. In fragmentary beings, she grew aware, a chaos of little sensibilities gathered round a small ego's pinpoint head. In it, a sentient creature found its voice. It moved and lived, a breathing, thinking whole. On a dim ocean of subconscient life, a formless surface consciousness awoke. A stream of thoughts and feelings came and went. A form of memories hardened and became a bright crust of habitual sense and thought, a seat of living personality and recurrent habits mimicked permanence. Mind nascent labored out a mutable form. It built a mobile house on shifting sands, a floating isle upon a bottomless sea. A conscious being was by this labor made. It looked around it on its difficult field, in the green, wonderful and perilous earth. It hoped in a brief body to survive, relying on matter's false eternity. It felt a godhead in its fragile house. It saw blue heavens, dreamed immortality. A conscious soul in the inconscious world, hidden behind our thoughts and hopes and dreams, an indifferent master signing nature's acts, leaves the vice-regent mind a seeming king. In his floating house upon the sea of time, the regent sits at work and never rests. He is a puppet of the dance of time. He is driven by the hours. The moment's call compels him with the throbbing of life's need and the babel of the voices of the world. This mind no silence knows, nor dreamless sleep. In the incessant circling of its steps, thoughts tread forever through the listening brain. It toils like a machine and cannot stop. Into the body's many storied rooms, endless, crowd down the dream God's messages. All is a hundred-toned murmur and battle and stir. There is a tireless running to and fro, a haste of movement and a ceaseless cry. The hurried servant senses answer apace to every knock upon the outer doors. Bring in time's visitors, report each call, admit the thousand queries and the calls and the messages of communicating minds and the heavy business of unnumbered lives and all the thousandfold commerce of the world. Even in the tracks of sleep is scant repose. He mocks life steps in strange subconscious dreams. He strays in a subtle realm of symbol scenes. His night with thin air vision and dim forms he packs or peoples with slight drifting shapes and only a moment spends in silent self. Adventuring into infinite mind space, he unfolds his wings of thought in inner air, or traveling in imagination's car, crosses the globe, journeys beneath the stars, to subtle worlds, takes his ethereal course, visits the gods on life's miraculous peaks, communicates with heaven, tampers with hell. This is the little surface of man's life. He is this, and he is all the universe. He scales the unseen. His depths dare the abyss. A whole mysterious world is locked within. Unknown to himself, he lives, a hidden king, behind rich tapestries, in great secret rooms. An epicure of the spirit's unseen joys, he lives on the sweet honey of solitude. A nameless god in an unapproachable fane, in the secret auditorium of his inmost soul, he guards the being's covered mysteries beneath the threshold, behind shadowy gates or shut in vast cellars of inconscient sleep. The immaculate divine, all-wonderful, casts into the argent purity of his soul, his splendor and his greatness and the light of self-creation in time's infinity as into a sublimely mirroring glass. Man in the world's life works out the dreams of God. But all is there, even God's opposites. He is a little front of nature's works, a thinking outline of a cryptic force. All she reveals in him that is in her. Her glories walk in him, and her darknesses. Man's house of life holds not the gods alone. There are occult shadows, there are tenebrous powers, inhabitants of life's ominous nether rooms, a shadowy world's stupendous denizens, a careless guardian of his nature's powers, man harbors dangerous forces in his house. The Titan and the Fury and the Jinn lie bound in the subconscious cavern pit, and the beast grovels in his entree den. Dire mutterings rise and murmur in their drowse. Insurgent sometimes raises its huge head, a monstrous mystery lurking in life's deeps, the mystery of dark and fallen worlds, the dread visages of the adversary kings. The dreadful powers held down within his depths become his masters or his ministers. Enormous, they invade his bodily house, can act in his acts, infest his thought and life. Inferno surges into the human air and touches all with it with a perverting breath. Grey forces like a thin miasma creep, stealing through chinks in his closed mansion's doors, discoloring the walls of upper mind in which he lives his fair and specious life, and leave behind a stench of sin and death. Not only rise in him perverse drifts of thought and formidable, formless influences, but there come presences and awful shapes. Tremendous forms and faces mount dim steps and stare at times into his living rooms, or called up for a moment's passionate work and lay a dire customs claim upon his heart. Aroused from sleep, they can be bound no more, afflicting the daylight, an alarming night, invading at will his outer tenement, the stark glooms, grisly, dire inhabitants, mounting into God's light, all light perturbed. All they have touched or seen, they make their own. In nature's basement lodge, mind's passages fill, disrupt thought's links and musing sequences, break through the soul's stillness with a noise and cry, or they call the inhabitants of the abyss, invite the instincts to forbidden joys, a laughter wake of dread demoniac mirth, and with nether riot and revel, shake life's floor. Impotent to quell his terrible prisoners, appalled, the householder, helpless, sits above. Taken from him, his house is his no more. He is bound and forced, a victim of the play, or allured, joys in the mad and mighty din. His nature's dangerous forces have arisen and hold at will a rebel's holiday. Aroused from the darkness where they crouched in the depths, prisoned from the sight, they can be held no more. His nature's impulses are now his laws. Once quelled, or wearing specious names and vests, infernal elements, demon powers are there. Man's lower nature hides these awful guests. Their vast contagion grips sometimes man's world. An awful insurgence overpowers man's soul. In house and house, the huge uprising grows. Hell's companies are loosed to do their work. Into the earthways they break out from all doors, invade with bloodlust and the will to slay, and fill with horror and carnage God's fair world. Death and his hunters stalk a victim earth. The terrible angel smites at every door, and awful laughter mocks at the world's pain, and massacre and torture grin at heaven. All is the prey of the destroying force. Creation rocks and trembles top and base. This evil nature housed in human hearts, a foreign inhabitant, a dangerous guest. The soul that harbors it, it can dislodge. Expel the householder, possess the house. An opposite potency contradicting God, a momentary evil's almightiness has straddled the straight path of nature's acts. It initiates the Godhead, it denies, puts on his figure and assumes his face. A Manichaean creator and destroyer, this can abolish man, annul his world. But there is a guardian power. There are hands that save, calm eyes divine, regard the human scene. All the world's possibilities in man are waiting as the tree waits in its seed. His past lives in him, it drives his future's pace. His presence acts fashion his coming fate. The unborn gods hide in his house of life. The demons of the unknown overshadow his mind, casting their dreams into live molds of thought, the molds in which his mind builds out its world. His mind creates around him its universe. All that has been renews in him its birth. All that can be is figured in his soul. Issuing in deeds, it scores on the roads of the world, obscure to the interpreting reason's guess, lines of the secret purpose of the gods. In strange directions runs the intricate plan. Held back from human foresight is their end, and the far intention of some ordering will, or the order of life's arbitrary chance, finds out its settled poise and fated hour. Our surface, watched in vain by reason's gaze, invaded by the impromptus of the unseen, helpless records the accidents of time, the involuntary turns and leaps of life. Only a little of us foresees its steps. Only a little has will, and purpose space. A vast subliminal is man's measureless part. The dim subconscious is his cavern base. Abolished vainly in the walks of time, our past lives still in our unconscious selves, and by the weight of its hidden influences is shaped our future's self-discovery. Thus all is an inevitable chain, and yet a series seems of accidents. The unremembering hours repeat the old acts. Our dead past round our future's ankles clings and drags back the new nature's glorious stride. Or from its buried corpse, old ghosts arise, old thoughts, old longings, dead passions live again, recur in sleep, or move the waking man to words that force the barrier of the lips, to deeds that suddenly start and o'erleap his head of reason and his guardian will. An old self lurks in the new self we are. Hardly we escape from what we once had been. In the dim gleam of habit's passages, in the subconscious darkling corridors, all things are carried by the porter nerves and nothing checked by subterranean mind, unstudied by the guardians of the doors and passed by a blind instinctive memory. The old gang dismissed, old cancelled passports serve. Nothing is wholly dead that once had lived. In dim tunnels of the world's being and in ours, the old rejected nature still survives. The corpses of its slain thoughts raise their heads and visit mind's nocturnal walks in sleep, its stifled impulses breathe and move and rise. All keeps a phantom immortality. Irresistible are nature's sequences. The seeds of sins renounced sprout from hid soil. The evil cast from our hearts, once more we face. Our dead selves come to slay our living soul. A portion of us lives in present time, a secret mass in dim inconscient groups. Out of the inconscient and subliminal, arisen, we live in mind's uncertain light and strive to know and master a dubious world whose purpose and meaning are hidden from our sight. Above us dwells a superconscient God hidden in the mystery of his own light. Around us is a vast of ignorance lit by the uncertain ray of human mind. Below us sleeps the inconscient, dark and mute. But this is only matter's first self-view, a scale and series in the ignorance. This is not all we are, or all our world. Our greater self of knowledge waits for us, a supreme light in the truth-conscious vast. It sees from summits beyond thinking mind. It moves in a splendid air, transcending life. It shall descend and make earth's life divine. Truth made the world, not a blind nature force, for here are not our large diviner heights, our summits in the superconscious blaze are glorious with the very face of God. There is our aspect of eternity. There is the figure of the God we are. His young, unaging look on deathless things, his joy in our escape from death and time, his immortality and life and bliss. Our larger being sits behind cryptic walls. There are greatnesses hidden in our unseen parts that wait their hour to step into life's front. We feel an aid from deep indwelling gods. One speaks within, light comes to us from above. Our soul from its mysterious chamber acts, its influence pressing on our heart and mind pushes them to exceed their mortal selves. It seeks for good and beauty and for God. We see beyond self's walls, our limitless self. We gaze through our world's glass at half-seen vasts. We hunt for the truth behind apparent things. Our inner mind dwells in a larger light. Its brightness looks at us through hidden doors. Our members, luminous, grow, and wisdom's face appears in the doorway of the mystic ward. When she enters into our house of outward sense, then we look up and see above her sun, a mighty life self with its inner powers supports the dwarfish modicum we call life. It can graft upon our crawl two puissant wings. Our body's subtle self is thrown within in its viewless palace of veridical dreams that are bright shadows of the thoughts of God. In the prone, obscure beginnings of the race, the human grew in the bowed, ape-like man. He stood erect, a godlike form and force, and a soul's thoughts looked out from earth-born eyes. Man stood erect, he wore the thinker's brow. He looked at heaven and saw his comrade stars. A vision came of beauty and greater birth slowly emerging from the heart's chapel of light and moved in a white, lucent air of dreams. He saw his being's unrealized vastnesses. He aspired and housed the nascent demigod. Out of the dim recesses of the self, the occult seeker into the open came. He heard the far and touched the intangible. He gazed into the future and the unseen. He used the powers earth instruments cannot use. A pastime made of the impossible. He caught up fragments of the omniscient thought. He scattered formulas of omnipotence. Thus man in his little house made of earth's dust grew towards an unseen heaven of thought and dream, looking into the vast vistas of his mind on a small globe dotting infinity. At last, climbing a long and narrow stair, he stood alone on the high roof of things and saw the light of a spiritual sun. Aspiring, he transcends his earthly self. He stands in the largeness of his soul, newborn, redeemed from encirclement by mortal things, and moves in a pure, free, spiritual realm as in the rare breath of a stratosphere. A last end of far lines of divinity, he mounts by a frail thread to his high source. He reaches his fount of immortality. He calls the Godhead into his mortal life. All this the spirit concealed had done in her. A portion of the mighty mother came into her as into its own human part. Amid the cosmic workings of the gods, it marked her the center of a wide-drawn scheme, dreamed in the passion of her far-seeing spirit to mold humanity into God's own shape and lead this great, blind, struggling world to light, or a new world discover or create. Earth must transform herself and equal heaven, or heaven descend into earth's mortal state. But for such vast spiritual change to be, out of the mystic cavern in man's heart, the heavenly Psyche must put off her veil and step into common nature's crowded rooms and stand uncovered in that nature's front and rule its thoughts and fill the body and life. Obedient to a high command she sat. Time, life and death were passing incidents, obstructing with their transient view her sight that must break through and liberate the God imprisoned in the visionless mortal man. The inferior nature, born into ignorance, still took too large a place. It veiled herself and must be pushed aside to find her soul. End of Canto 2.